Okay, welcome everyone for the English medium discussion. Last Tuesday we had the same session, and I have not written the particular stanza we have taken, but much of the time we took for our ideas and open discussion. I think 925 Akitteyi Vivatta Chakku Sankhi Dhammam Parisevinayam Patipadang Vadehi Badante Patimokkhang Atavapi Samadhi. 925 omniscient, having five kind of eyes, without any blemishes, you have verified the truth expressed. Please, what is your path? Oh, please tell us the Patimokkha, the Vinaya Supreme, and the way you concentrate, way you manage the concentration. That's a single translation. That's a text translation. The Buddha says, never attracted to the visuals by eye, and don't listen to the frivolous talks, or in say English, you can say political talks. And don't carried away by smelling, tasting and touching. Anything you experience, don't take it as me, myself. That is the thing I guess we discussed last time. So today, before going to this, the continuation, if anyone is having any other interview reports or ideas or suggestions and criticism, we'll take a few minutes and then we'll start the formal Tuataka Sutta.
Asrai Bante, I'm Kumar here.
Kiyanda, apita ayenne.
Asrai Bante, then can you hear me now?
Hundai, kiyanda.
Yeah, we have received one poem and three reports, Bante.
Both in English?
Yes.
Yes, please carry on.
Yeah, I will recite the poem at the beginning.
Yeah.
Before that, there's a small email also. I will read that also, Bante.
Yeah.
Dear Bante, I wish Bante is keeping well and healthy. As requested during the almsgiving at the children's meditation session last December, I couldn't find the composer to write suitable songs for Satipasala, and I do apologize for that. However, I told Hasini to write the poem to fulfill the promise made, and she composed the following poem and sent in the same for Bante's reference, with Metta Dayaka Kosala.
Dayaka Kosala.
Yes, sir, Bante.
Good.
I'll recite the poem.
Yeah.
He who holds my hand, calm and never urging. He who is ordinary and ungrand, yet his presence placarding. He points to the road but never follows. Void of answers, his eyes hollow. He who does not demand my compliance, yet advises me anyway. He who looks past my defiance, a kindness which never frays. He who is not my savior, he who is neither a stranger. He who forever has my gratitude, is he who showed me the way. That's the end of the poem, Bhante.
Good. Good.
I will go to the next report, Bhante. Dear Venerable Bhante, today I did walking meditation for 1 hour. I noticed that I was quite tired and therefore my steps much shorter. I beg your pardon, my steps were much shorter, slower and harder to do. However, I found this quite helpful as it looked more effort to do every step. So I had much more focus into each of them. Today, I noticed that my feet would go off pain much more than it normally did. I often started walking off my mat by accident. And I noticed I had gone off of my mat when I noticed the smoothness of the wooden floor. And I consciously went back to my mat. I also noticed every time I took a step, I would start lifting the left foot almost like a split second before I put down the right foot. Even though it hadn't touched the ground yet, I also noticed that with every step, I would fall forward a bit and then get back up, which created like a rocking motion as I walked. I also noticed that I would often slightly move the mat with my feet and move it back and forth. Thank you for listening, Venerable Bhante. Teruvan Saranai. Dinuka dictates 11 years, Bhante.
Dinuka, yeah.
That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So that if you are walking on a mat, you can understand you are off the mat. But you are not walking on a mat, you don't know whether you are on the mat or not on the mat. So likewise, if you are not introduced mindfulness, you don't know whether you are mindful or not. Basically, you will understand your mindfulness by unmindfulness. Whenever mind goes off the track, at least you know, because you have introduced mindfulness beforehand, you have known mindfulness when you are unmindful, and then the gift, the endowment is when you are not mindful, mind is reminding you. That's a better mindfulness than the understanding mindfulness when you are mindful. This is the way you have to understand each mishap, each off the track thing is a reminder for your mindfulness. But mind labeled it as unmindfulness. You have to label it as better mindfulness. Whenever you are in trouble, whenever you are off the track, whenever you are in some kind of daydreaming, fantasizing, thinking, listening, distractions, pain, each and every says you are not. And instead, the mat which you have taken as your datum line never refuses you. Always you can come back to the mat. That is the Buddha. So therefore, writing method is good. I hope I understand. I hope what I am telling is meaningful and you can understand even though you are 11 years. Please continue to practice like that. Don't regret thinking you are off the track. Just see, soon by diagnosing off the track, mind and the body will bring back to the track, bring back to the mat. That is your birthright. That's the way you appreciate your early installment of the mindfulness. It appears like a mishap. So each mishap is an endowment. Each mishap is an encouragement. If you know the right way of writing, if you know the presentation, the Buddha says, when you are presenting like this, mind is glad. If you are considering this as but the hell that I am a mindful person, I supposed to be on the mat, but this mind is running all the way. Whenever the chances happen, that your mind is with hatred. Whole literature on the earth is on hatred. Protection, protest or reaction. Reaction is very bad. As Krishnamurti openly mentioned, reaction is dirty. Action is good. Action-wise, we all are enlightened. So, let the action to happen. Action means unmindful mind is naturally, by the body knowledge, bring back to the mat. And that you can't claim as me, some people claim. But ultimately, when you are familiarizing, one day you will understand that's an endowment that is not due to this life merits. We have trained it in the past life itself also. Only you have to give a chance. But what is the giving chance? Please don't regret about unmindfulness. Then naturally mind will come back like a band of rubber. If you pull it, it will replace. But if released, immediately it come back to its own position. It's, that is why we call rubber. So our mind also such a shock absorber, such a self-correcting mechanism, but we can't say that self. That is the dhammata, that is the law of nature. So the stanza that I just recited, also the imaginary Buddha is asking, telling our Gautama the Buddha, you have five eyes, not a single eye, so you have not reacted to anything, still you had the journey. So what is the path? What is the patipada? How did you manage to go smilingly in the glad mind, and what was the technique? The Gautama the Buddha says, I never entertain what my eyes are looking at. I never entertain what my ears are impinged with or avenued with. I am not claiming or entertaining the tactile sensations. And in the least frictional path, without claiming, the trip happens. That kind of a thing you can write once you reach the target. Till that you think, I am managing, I am in the middle path. I manage to come to the middle path like the other I is there. So our friends and our mirrors must reflect whatever we do with self, selfish, I, mind and self. So that is why we are practicing in a group. Each and everyone must be a mirror, a reflector for the others. Or simply we can say we are behaving in front of a short circuit CCTV camera. So we can see how much we have done with egotistic ego, how much we have done with the one-upmanship. So whenever it is reflecting, whenever someone is telling you, oh, don't fight with the person who has seen. And mindfulness, if there is no one, mindfulness is reflecting you, telling you, you have done this with that kind of arrogance. Coercive mind. By practicing that coerciveness, arrogance will be slowly reducing. Ultimately, things will happen by the law of the nature. That is, we call Taoism, or we can say Dhammata, or we can say the correct view, that means no view. That's all I have to remark on that. And with that, if there are any remarks or if there are any other comments, welcome. Otherwise, we are going to go to this Tuataka Sutta.
Bhante, that there are two more reports actually.
There is a comment from here, please wait.
Yeah.
Thank you, Swami Nansa. Officer Swami Nansa, I wanted to say that I noticed on that last report that this child, 11 years old, was noticing as, you know, just a split second before, I believe, is it she or he?
He.
A split second before he stepped down, the other foot was, he was noticing, I'm not sure exactly the detail, but noticing very subtle details about walking, and also that there was a loss of balance that he felt as he was stepping, and also that there was a sway from one side to the other as he was walking, which are pretty subtle, mindful observations. And I've noticed those sorts of things myself, so I was going, oh yeah, he's really noticing some really subtle mindful observations about the physical attribute, the moving of the body and the stepping of the feet. in a very specific way. So I thought that was very mindful.
Good. And I always ask, but today also I have to ask your Pali name, Venerable Dhamma.
Dhamma Vijita.
Dhamma Vijita. So how old are you?
I'm 58.
38?
58.
That would do. So Dinuka, listen, you are getting some instruction from the 58. I am 71 plus. So you are 11 years. So we all have the same thing. Hmm. Experience-wise, we are the same. Hmm. So we have to share it with, then Dinuka become our sons, not your parents, but you become one of our family members. Please, whenever you have something like that, don't hesitate. Please share with us. Thank you, Venerable. Thank you, Dinuka.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Two more reports.
Yes, Bhante. The next report. Dear Bhante, I did sit in meditation for 1 hour while my son was doing the walk-in meditation in the same room. I sat on a cushion on the floor and brought my attention to breath. It's an unusual experience for me as my usual formal sitting is in quietness. The middle part of the breath was quite tangible throughout the course. However, the breath was competing with other objects like vibration of the floor, sounds and background thoughts. Thoughts had the least attention, although I could see that they were there if I directed my attention to them. I tried to see which object becomes more prominent with my primary commitment towards the primary object of breathing. A lot of the time, breath was at the forefront. However, at times, vibration of the buttocks became more prominent. When I noted this, automatically the mind was back at the breath, was almost always, it was in the resting place, which is the gap between exhalation and inhalation. At this point, the breath started like a tiny mound on a flat ground and went back to the flat ground very quickly. Thank you. May we all find the bliss of Nibbana in this very life. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So what's the impact that your child is walking side by? The it was the first sentence you have mentioned. Was it something impactful or is it just the surrounding? Never mind, report is okay. You can continue to do it in the walking meditation session. In the video, we says, after walking, go and sit and let others in your family join you. That's a very attractive last episode. Not only you are walking and sitting, let your other family members also come and sit. And beside this walking meditator, younger brother and sister come and sit with the main actor. So that is appreciable. Good. We are going to the last one.
Yes, Bhante. Dear Bhante, I am 16 years old and have been practicing for 3.5 years. This is my experience. Please advise me. I was in the middle of the test today when I heard a ringing in my ear. I was fully fixated on my test, so I didn't notice the ringing at first. But once I noticed it once, it wouldn't go away. I kept watching this ringing sound until my mind blanked out. I was started out of this state by once again noticing the ringing in my ears. Teruvan Saranai, Hasini. That's the end of the report, Bhante.
So, ringing of the ear. Yesterday also I saw YouTube telling that some people take medicine for that called tinnitus. And they can't sleep. And some people call this as a sign of one-pointedness. So it depends. Tinnitus may be something very drastically happening. These people can't sleep because always ear is singing. But whenever other things are gone, whenever you feel at home, you start to feel the sound of silence. So when I was in Nilambe, there's a one monk, he came from Germany, get ordained. Next day he came to Nilambe, called Venerable Aloka. He's a master. He knows the other places you can go and sit, so you feel solitude and you feel lonely and you feel the sound. And it's a sign of loneliness and for some other aloneness. So it depends. So there is a Sanamana Sutta in Sanghita Nikaya where the celestial being living in the forest get lonely. He hear the sound. And he complained to the Buddha. Buddha says, I also feel it. I feel alone. I am not feel lonely. Therefore, I am happy. So therefore, this good. You have to understand, mind can eat only one thing at a time. One donkey at a time. So this is the way. If you are looking, you are hearing all null and void. When you are hearing, you are seeing, smelling, tasting become null and void. So by understanding the stringing, if you can understand while listening, no seeing, no smelling, no tasting, no touching, no thinking, that is called deductive knowledge, inferential knowledge, and that is very important, but don't put that forward. You just always listen. While listening, you have to understand, deduct, you have to deduce, seeing not happens. That's enlightenment. That's the way you get enlightened by getting hooked with, getting avenued with one thing. That particular thing is destroying all the other things. Become, make other things null and void. No scientist found it. And if they found, they are not scientists. They cannot see eternal God. They are one upon the other capitalist system. The one, whatever uprising, finished everything. Chop and smash everything. That's the way the mind is working. Good experience. Please continue to observe it without getting obsessed with this kind of thing. Okay. We are taking 15 minutes. And we can start with the Tuataka Sutta. And today we have Venerable Buddha Rakkita. Yesterday, last time he was not there, so discussion was very successful. We'll see with Buddha Rakkita how it is going.
I think this is an appropriate reply to you. When he is touched by a contact, a bhikkhu should not lament anywhere.
Ah, yes, 927.
Yes, so I will not lament at your words. Yeah. He should not long for any state of existence, nor should he tremble amid fearful conditions. Do you want to read it in Pali?
Yeah. Passena yada puttasa paridevam bhikkhuna karaya kuhinchi bhavancha nabigijjaya beravesucha na sampavedeya. Whenever get someone contacted or touched with, he never cry, he never complain. Therefore, commented this, whenever you are touched by a pain or disease, I mean, it is not there in the Pali. Touch means touch. He says, you are touched by corona or touched by cancer or something like that. Roga sparshay. There's no mention about the roga. Then he start to cry. He start to suffer. Kama bhavadiya nopatanyaya. And he never expect the next moment because next moment also is suffering. So therefore, extension of your future thinking means expectation of suffering. Biyadhanavana aramu nimichakota nosalenni. Whatever the thing you are aiming at, you are determining at, you are willfully doing, bring you the fear. So therefore, don't have hopes. Don't have any target. Don't have any determination. And that is the idea. But the single translation, the traditional translation is unrelated. First says when you are touched with the disease, he will cry and lament. And he is not expecting the existence. He is not expecting the future. But theme is there in the Pali. So therefore you have to look at it from the from the Buddha's view, without other views. So therefore, we can accept Vikubodhi's translation. We have to accept this one also, but nothing gives the proper translation. So we are open to the discussion.
Yes, so pasa, or touch, is this, or contact, is when the whatever sense object is arising. So we, if we see something, we have an object, and then we have the sense base, we have the eye that sees the object, and then that information, that that light is converted to the sensation of seeing. And then that phenomena is contacted within the mind. So similarly, when we experience touch, we run into a physical object. Then there is the haptic sense, and then there arises in the mind the corresponding contact within the mind that I know that I touch something. So contact is this word that's used in particularly in the Abhidhamma to describe the train of events that occurs when an object, whatever sensation or experience arises, ultimately it comes in contact with the mind. So this mental state of contact is a very important part in the sequence of experience of whatever phenomena is arising at any of the six sense doors. So here, contact doesn't have a negative meaning. It doesn't specifically mean that somebody has encountered difficulty or illness. It's more general. But as Mahatero just mentioned, the commentaries take the negative.
Pain. In Sri Lankan, Vedana means always touch, painful sensation.
Yeah.
The sensation considered as a pain.
Yeah.
Considered pain will be a pleasurable sensation. Yeah. But that is not the normal idea of pain in Sri Lankan translation. Wrong.
Yeah.
Pain means a feeling.
Yeah.
Sensation. But always they consider as a negative.
Yeah.
So therefore, commentators completely obsessed with this traditional translation.
However, the next line is, a bhikkhu should not lament anywhere. So it's very interesting how the mind, when it is contacted by something, it can lament. It can take a pleasurable thought and memory and feeling and sensation, and it can convert it into a lamentation, into a sorrow. So as Mahatera just mentioned earlier on about this aspect of sound, hearing the sound is an indication of loneliness. But our task is to not react to that sound and not react to that loneliness, and instead develop and cultivate a mature sense of solitude. So I'm not sure about in Sinhalese, but in English we have two different words. One is loneliness, which is where we lament the being by ourselves.
Loneliness aloneness.
Whereas solitude is being alone, being not having company, but one is okay with that. One is at peace with the. In fact, solitude is considered a gift. It's a beautiful state to
but
be in.
But if you feel lonely?
But if you feel lonely, the same thing, so contact is neutral. You know, it's what we do after the contact in this cascade of mental activity. So from the object and the sense base, there arises contact, and with the contact, then we have this kind of cognition, and we have the attribution of other mental states to that contact. So we can have loneliness, or we can have solitude. And this is a development. We have to cultivate and develop our mind so that we don't lament when the sound arises. We don't lament when we fall off of the carpet when we're walking. And we are just noting the phenomena as it is, and we are not lamenting about this. And he should not long for any state of existence. So whenever something is happening, we don't hang on to it, because that thing that is happening is arising, it is present, it is passing away. And we experience this in the footsteps when we're walking, we experience this in the breath as we're breathing. And this is training and conditioning the mind to see everything in terms of a flow instead of a flux. And that everything, whatever it is, it arises, it is present, it passes away. And we have to get around this foolish idea that something can be eternal, that something we should hang on to it and not tremble amid fearful conditions. So there is always an uncertainty and ignorance of the phenomena arising. So again, if we hear a sound, we can attribute that sound to something dangerous, or we experience that being alone, we experience it negatively as a danger, that I am vulnerable. We add a story to it. So in this cascade of experience, from the touch, from the contact, the pasa, from this mental contact in the mind, that the bhikkhu is not inclined to lament. He or she is inclined to see things as they really are. They see contact as contact. And they're not longing for any particular state. So they're not like denying the reality that this contact has arisen and not wanting it to be otherwise. So I am by myself. And that's okay. That's solitude. Rather than I'm by myself and I am alone. And that's a loss. And one does not... So one is not expecting states. One is accepting the states as they are. And those states are arising, present, and passing away, rather than that they want the state to exist, or they want that state to not exist. I don't want to be alone, or I do want to be in solitude. They understand that solitude is arising and passing away, or loneliness is arising and passing away. And they should not tremble amid fearful conditions. So again, trembling here is this idea of rejecting those fearful or difficult conditions. Fearful and difficult conditions are arising again because of causes and conditions. And the correct response is to know these things carefully and diligently, and not be too close and not be too far away from these fearful conditions. And processing those conditions as contact, as experience, as arising, as passing away, and rather than trembling, meaning rejecting that difficult situation. So while the emphasis here in this paragraph is towards the difficult condition, it's because it's easier to notice the difficulty. As Mahatera mentioned earlier on about with Dhanuka walking off the path and then coming back onto the path, it's when we encounter a difficulty and we correct our mind, when we lose the mindfulness and bring it back to the mindfulness, that reinforcement of bringing it back onto the path, reinforcing the mind back onto mindfulness, that is mindfulness, that is improved mindfulness, that is the opportunity to develop and cultivate our practice. So I don't wish to emphasize the negativity of this verse, that one should only be diligent and alert when we encounter difficulty. It's not. It's that in that encounter of the difficulty and we bring it back onto the path, that we are being mindful and that we are correcting the mind and developing the mind. And in that way, these difficulties can be our best teacher, you know. The teacher we didn't want in our life, and we need to bow down to our teachers. And in a way, these difficult teachings are easier than the pleasant teachers. Then, because the mind is happy to reject the difficulty, but we hang on too much to the pleasant thing. So in terms of practice, this is the sequence of practice. When we encounter something and we reject difficulty, that's the first teacher. But then when we encounter pleasant things and we don't like to give that one up, and we don't like to take the teaching from that teacher. So we start with the difficulty, and later on we will learn to process the beautiful things, as well as both, you know, things to be accepted and allowed to arise and pass away, and not wish to lament or hang on to when they have passed away. Like when we have difficulty, we want to get rid of it. When we have pleasant things, we want to hang on to it. When we're always wishing that the state of existence be longer or shorter than it's actually around, and we have trembling and fearful conditions, not just because we are threatened by an enemy, but we can also, when we have something to lose, then we have this trembling and fearful conditions. So in this way, we start, in a weird way, we start with the difficulties, but in due course, we have to also process the beautiful things.
Yeah, whenever things happen, whether it is good or bad, not you attributed it to the cause and effect, still we can see your view. When the loneliness happens, some people consider it as aloneness. Some people consider it as lonely and they think psychiatric helps and kind of thing. But instead, if you are appreciating by discussing and interviews, to appreciate it, then it's a blessing. It's a blessing in disguise. But others in the most of the world, they are attracted to the society. If they wanted to live in the social life, then they consider this as alone. So they fear, specifically when you get pension, people develop special kind of a fear, lonely. And they are sent to the elders' houses and they are nothing. Because the world is belong to the youngsters. Who run the world? Girls. That is the Shasha. You don't know that song? No, that is, they don't know that, that Shasha says, she's half naked. He says, whole world is run by girls. Who run the world? Girls. So then, elderly people, they are rejected. So the rejection mark is, they are getting pension, retirement. So this is aloneness, loneliness. But if you know the Buddha is and the, all the saints appreciating aloneness, that is your view. Past conditioned and the causative conditions, you have to add the major thing is your view. Whether it's an achievement or it's a deprivation. So renunciation, retirement, getting enlightened, getting a jhanic experience, all this more towards aloneness. Not loneliness. So Godwin always take these two terms, loneliness and aloneness. And we translated for three books, or we rather published, about the sound of silence. The Japanese book is The Boy Go in Search of Silence. And Amaro, Venerable Amaro from Amaravati, he wrote Listening to the Inner Voice. And Sri Lanka, there is a book, very old book, not in the bookstalls now, Nihande Handa, that means Nada, that is a Hindu system, and Tesla also says everything world started with the sound waves or waves, and they call Nada, that is mantras and kind of, you can create something, you can destroy something, and Om. So the sound of silence is some people say it's 1,000 ringing bells at the same time. Some people say it's a jet engine sound. Some people say it's a mall cricket. In the night, you have a sound. The small creatures in the mall cricket. Am I correct?
Crickets.
Yeah, cricket. They have a sound. So they are very lonely because night is there, dark is there, in the dusk, you feel lonely. And if you consider this as aloneness, it's something you earn. You are away from the society, away from the hassle, from the streets. And so therefore cause and effect condition, main factor is your view. How prepared you go for this sound of silence? How prepared to go to this inner sound, listening to the inner sound? or how prepared you go to the loneliness. Are you going to make it aloneness or loneliness? It depends. So when you are meditating at the Udayabhyayana, you are deprived of everything because everything is arising and passing away. Everything and passing away. You feel lonely. So some people can't go to the Balavudayabhyaya because they lost. They are psychiatrically dropped. And they start to feel autistic range characteristics because they become introvert. So that lady Manori Senanayake, she introduced Banti, why don't you give a thought? The autistic people also become inwardly, they hate outside. They do something rotating and just look at it. Whoever talk, don't care. Exactly the same thing happened to the yogi when he become introvert. And if someone is coughing, he do not like. If rain happens, he don't like. If a fly is come and step, he don't like. He wanted to be this. But later, once familiarize, even the coughing happens, even the rain happens, even the flies happen, he can maintain his integrity because he appreciates aloneness. So aloneness is called appamatto, vupakatto, pahitatto. These are the terms Buddha is using. He appreciates. Of course, he is born with the parents and they live and they brought up in the society. But he appreciates even within the society, live alone. And that politicians do not like. Economists, they do not like. Social people, they don't like. They wanted to people put them everything into the group and they want to drive the herd of sheep as the shepherd. So they are the one. And Jesus Christ is the shepherd for the Jews. As the sheep. You are just eating, and going forward. Not looking up and down. So that is the way he introduced himself as the Son of God. But the Buddha same way mentioned, you all are sheep, I am the shepherd. You also, the day you raise your hand and understand, loneliness becomes aloneness, aloneness becomes aloneness, it is up to you. It's your view. And that, I think, is a very good criterion for you to select your companion, Kalyanamitta. He is not depending upon you. He is not asking you to depend upon me. We are going hand by hand. And they are, he also the path seeker, wayfarer. I am also the same. And we can see the Buddha. Otherwise, as far as you have a hero, as far as the founder, as far as the eternal God, you are a slave. You are a sheep. People are very happy to make you a sheep. That's how the capitalism. That is the socialism. That's how the economists, they are doing. That bloody fools, they are sheep. They are not shepherd. The Buddha never gave us the shepherdship. He raised us from the sheep situation. We can have equal rights and we are teacher and the students, everyone, learned as unlearned. As far as you are in the mindfulness, you are non-coercive. Ready to accept anything.
Thank you, Swami Nansa, and thank you, Bhante, for presenting the teaching. And I just wanted to say that when I was listening to your commentaries and talking about the commentaries about lamenting when one has a contact or trembling and amid fearful conditions, or yearning for some state of existence, so should not long for any state of existence. And I was just wondering, I was thinking, I considered why do we yearn and why do we tremble amidst certain contacts? We have a contact and we're fearful, or we have a contact and we're desiring or longing for something. And then I thought, well, that is because we have a sense of self that we're protecting, or else that we're seeking some gratification for. So that's the Buddha is addressing this issue of self, which leads to suffering because we have craving, because we have a sense of self, and greed and wanting more, or hatred, being fearful and becoming hateful towards anything that's going to impinge on us. So then also I was thinking about why do we have these fears, and why do we have this question in religion is that we're, as human beings, I've heard it said that we have the survival instinct just like animals have, but animals don't know that ultimately they will not be successful in this survival game. But human beings have a very high level understanding that we're going to die, and that it could happen at any moment, and also that, so that, you know, we have this sense of self that's very strong. So, but we also have the mindfulness to go beyond that, which the Buddha is trying to help us to learn how to go beyond our sense of self and see that we actually aren't a self. If you watch the body and watch it very closely in the mind, we see that it's constantly changing and that we don't own it. We can't control it. So I just wanted to add that in, that, you know, that we have this survival instinct, but, and we have this instinct like animals, but it seems like the Buddha is trying to help us evolve beyond being mere animals, because many people, you know, in the world who aren't mindful, who don't have right view, don't understand this, where they're not much higher than animals, except that they know that they're not going to go on living, but they even try to ignore that, you know, that they think they have more control than they actually do. And so people, common people that aren't learned in the Buddha's wisdom, they think that they're not much higher than animals, in that they're not aware of how little control they have over anything, and that, you know, if they were to know that this body is constantly changing, and that if they're continually mindful of that and letting go of this sense of self, not trying, then there wouldn't be all this fighting. And so it's a spiritual path of learning that we don't have control. I don't know. I would ask Swaminansa what his thoughts on that are. I kind of get lost at that point. Thank you, Swaminansa.
We are happy. We are happy having not only the Irish ideas. We are happy to have American ideas. He is now participating in the discussion more and more. So you get lost more and more. That is the idea. The Irish, he do not know he is lost. But anyway, he is giving the main participant of the discussion. We have to keep him, because otherwise discussion will lose the theme. So any American ideas?
He is not touched by a contact. A bhikkhu shall not lament.
Yeah.
Avasarai Swaminansa, and thank you everyone for the comments so far. That verse, you know, touched by contact, he should not lament. I don't know what the exact words are, but it's, essentially referring. I think what that means, you know, touched by contact, the bhikkhu should not lament. That perhaps that's, you know, that could be talking about, most people, that when they have unpleasing or unpleasant things happen to them externally, then they suffer on account of that. So that verse may be specifically referring to that. You know, if a monk is experiencing unpleasant things externally, they should not suffer on account of those unpleasant things or experiences. There's this major difference between someone who's established in wrong view versus someone who's established in right view. And someone who's established in wrong view will believe that when something bad externally happens, then they will suffer over that that bad or unpleasant experience. When they have unpleasant things happen externally, they will suffer on account of those things. Whereas someone who is established in right view will not suffer on account of these external things happening, these unpleasant experiences happening externally. So that is my comment so far.
Yeah, any touch is a suffering. The Buddha says when the wound is open, whenever you get touched more than the healed skin or unopened wound, it is more irritating. So once you become mindful, you are like a open skin person or like a de-skinned cow. Wherever you go, you start to feel. So people wish to have not to open the wound. Even they want the medicine, they just want to be dressing without cleaning the wound. Buddha says, not effective, but just medicine given. You have to, before that, you have to clean the wound. So that is how the mindfulness is cleaning. And then when you apply the medicine, it's very, very irritating, very inflicting. But that is, the medicine is effective. But loneliness and aloneness is concerned, not only the mindfulness, the wisdom has to work. You have to consider this is a negative thing for social beings, but the positive thing for ascetic. And he considered, because of not due to the mindfulness, they add wisdom, sati sampajanya. So that is very rare thing. So you have to discuss and be prepared, and prepared mind only. Whenever the loneliness happens, you have a choice to be make it as aloneness or loneliness. Because of your incessant training, one day you will understand it's a blessing in disguise. But your family members may cry, your friends may be crying, your heart may be crying. But your wisdom will say, hey darling, this is a blessing in disguise, let this happen. Then you are alone, not lonely. Others are telling, ayyo, my brother, my son and everything, he lost the connection. That is because of the mental proliferation. As far as you are having the mental proliferation, that is called papancha, then you are a beast. Papancha abhirato mago. The Buddha says, as far as you are entertaining, proliferating the papancha, you are a beast. You are an idiot. But after being an idiot, after being a beast only, you have to evolve into the mammalian or a human, understand the blessing in disguise. Your co-practitioners, your brothers, sisters and your friends will say, oh, what a pain that particular person is, he lost a connection. But internally you are happy because not of the mindfulness, because of the wisdom.
Yeah, it's also important to point out, you know, that thank you, Swami Nansa. It's also important to point out that, you know, being alone and being lonely are two very different things. You know, so people, you know, they may say, oh, you know, I hate being alone, but you know, really that's loneliness. You know, it's wanting to have other people around you, it's wanting to be around other people, be in company, you know. It's not really, it's from the mind, you know, it's coming from the mind. That pain, that suffering is coming from the mind, that dissatisfaction is coming from the mind, and it's loneliness. It's not, so if you know, people say, you know, I'm just saying here, like maybe they'll say, maybe some people will say, I hate being alone. But really, they're lonely. You know, they want to be in company, or they want to have a companion, or they want to be around people. It's not that they're actually alone. It's that they're lonely, and that's, you know, coming from the mind again. You know, the mind is creating that dissatisfaction. It really has nothing to do with being alone physically. It has to do with you know, the mind creating this dissatisfaction with not being around other people or not being in company. So being alone and being lonely are two very different things. One can be alone and be very happy. So if someone is, hating being alone, it really what they dislike is really what's going on is that they're lonely. Their mind is dissatisfied. It doesn't enjoy physical seclusion. It wants to be around others, and it wants to be in company. So that's really where it's coming from. It's coming from the mind. It has nothing to do with being physically secluded or alone. So yeah.
That's the point. Psychiatrists are earning money. This is okay. We can make you so fully selfish. You can end out with your foolishness, idiotness. I will give you a psychedelic. You can entertain either internal chatter or chatter with outside. So therefore, psychiatrist or psychoanalysis came to exploit this kind of foolish fellows. Buddha beforehand, he told, you must know the art how to change loneliness into aloneness. It's utterly depending on your view, utterly depending on your companion. If you are associating wise companions, they will teach you. Don't come with me, be alone. If you have a problem, you can come. But don't be with me, don't be behind me. They give the message. So when I was in the university, Venerable Dhammika was the face, the main person, but other people are two generations above me, very elderly and well-established people. They were very happy, a young man is coming to us. They taught me very skillful way, don't worry about anyone. Try make your life lonely. Whatever the education you have, no problem, but you have rights. Don't spoil it. Don't marry. Don't do a job. Don't tell anyone you like loneliness. Have aloneness. So when I was in the room, when I was in front of the television, all the others are entertaining. I try to just make use of the situation. They are engaged. I am sitting. And I can maintain my aloneness. So I had one or two other friends in the peer group. They told, I can't understand. I also feel it, but I don't know how to appreciate it. So I get released, I feel. But I feel it more greatly. One or two days when I was in Nilambe, I felt I will never go back to the society again. It was such a contentment, such a fulfillment. And that was, my mind was boosted with too much of egoism. And so I thought one or two people will come and prepare the situation for me to completely be alone. It was not the case, that the world is something different. But now, whenever I am meditating, wherever I may be, that Nilambe experience is coming. Very, very busy place, but you can be alone. And sometimes, other people also report the same. While meditating, no mindfulness, no the primary object, no body. But there's a kind of a existence is happening. The continuation of the vijnana, I have nothing to maintain. Appear like a non-local, appear like a lost. But he is trying to understand it. It's a positive way or negative way. I try not to give any clue. I ask, can you do it again and again? If he is not fearful, he will say yes. If he have kind of a fear, that means he has the desire for his life and the body. Then I say, sacrifice the love to the life and the body. Please continue. While continuing, this aloneness will be appreciated. Loneliness will be slowly, slowly fading off. So that is become unsocial. You are not a social being. Even though in the midst of the society, you can have your own this thing. Just like the Buddha gave two examples. Matanganang Hasiraja, there was a elephant, the great elephant. You always live alone. Herd is very happy to be with him and his security, but he is not. And the rhinoceros horn, single. He can break any tree. Rhino, a very aphrodisiac. Rhino's horn, so people kill rhino, but they are using it for something else. So these are the two verses, Matanganang Hasiraja and rhinoceros horn. It appears like you are allergic to the society. It's not allergic. Society is a barbed wire. It's a cancer. I don't know, malice or not, growth in your body. You have malevolent tumor. Society is a tumor. You don't know whether it's benevolent or malevolent. Any tumor is wrong. Society is such. So give the society what they need. Have your own solitude. And that is not America. The America is always have a Super Bowl. Have who run the world? Girls.
Alsarai Swaminansa, thank you for your comments. And I just wanted to go on to say that, being in solitude and being physically secluded is an important part of the practice, because, this is what's, helping us to develop this wisdom that we don't need other people to be happy. It's helping us to develop this wisdom to not depend on others for happiness. That's why we have solitude and physical seclusion, or at least that's one of the reasons why we have solitude and physical seclusion in the Buddha's teachings. This is, a major aspect of the practice, and at least one of the reasons for that is so that we can develop this wisdom to stop depending on others for happiness and start understanding, again, that happiness, this is one of the things that is showing us that happiness is internal rather than external. So, if we're depending on others for happiness, we're still looking externally for happiness rather than internally. And so being in solitude and being in physical seclusion is a major aspect of the practice, because it's helping us to be in an environment where we can develop that wisdom to understand or to not depend on others for happiness. And again, that would be, if we were depending on others for happiness, that would again be looking externally for happiness rather than internally, which is where happiness truly lies, is internally. So, that may, have been difficult, I can't say exactly for sure, but this may have been a problem for some people during the, COVID-19 outbreak, at least, when it was like,
social solitude,
really
social distance.
Yeah, and just, all the shutting down of everything and, things being closed and, people, I think probably took a big hit. A lot of people mentally probably took a big hit when that happened. A lot of things got shut down and closed. If we're practicing like solitude and physical seclusion, if we've been developing that wisdom, for a time, already that does, that we don't need to depend on others for happiness, experiencing solitude and physical seclusion for a time, then in situations like that, we could actually be in that situation, like where everything is shut down, and likely, they would still be happy, content, doing well, not suffering not being miserable like I'm sure some people were, or, you know, very upset the way that at least some people were during the coronavirus outbreak, or the height of it, you know, during the height of it. I also wanted to mention that, thank you, Swami Nansa, for bringing up the Kagavisana Sutta from the Sutta Nipata. That's, I think, the first sutta that I may have actually, like, truly kind of, like, paid attention to. I think that, you know, that sutta was, I think it really stood out to me. I think that was, like, perhaps the first sutta that I really kind of, like, looked at and actually, like, really seriously, like, paid attention to. And I think it really did stand out to me. And it's talking about seclusion, and it's talking about solitude, and it's talking about the benefits of solitude, and the need to not delight in company. So
it's a jewel in the sutta. May I complain you that you hate society? American, I am going to complain. You appreciate so much of Kagavisana Sutta because you hate society.
I don't think I hate
society. I'm complaining. I am asking your explanation.
No. You're not hating society. You're just, again, you're understanding that, like, again, that happiness is internal. It's not external.
My comment is, happiness is birthright. You're born with. As far as you are searching outside, you get the bitterness of the world. If you believe your here and now is the happiness, you are born with. That's why we are teaching in mindful school. The happiness and the mindfulness is a birthright. You are endowed with. You have the total potential and possibility. But if you are going to learn and have a wife and have a husband and the money and everything, it brings all the suffering. Whenever you come back to your internal contentment, and then there you are. Wherever you go, there you are. Yes.
Yes, Bhante. Now, when we stay alone and the mental proliferation kind of decays, then we find that there's kind of a script running inside us. Am I correct, Bhante? Like, we are like in a stage drama that there are different walls there and different curtains open and various people play various roles. And when you feel alone, you understand how you play with yourself and you become more kind of aware of yourself, what you're doing, and how you act more than actor. And then you see the stage and like the puppets, they're hanging there and they're playing their games, and even different curtains open, and still behind those curtains, there's a big bowl also. Something like that, is it?
Yeah, so the Buddha gave kind of a short answer. Papancha, that is mental prolification, depending on the perception, the stage arrangements, costumes, backdrop, all the kind of, then you become an actor. But still you can be aware, I am on the stage, and all these things are kind of thing, nothing to do papancha. So perception, sanya, is taken you for the cow's tone, the ring, and sanya. Sanya is given to you by your parents. They are scripts. By teaching, by the society. And they have trained you with your sanya to make you a sheep, to make you a slave. So you have to understand sanya is not substantial. If your sanya becomes substantial, proliferation continues. If sanya becomes just ripples on the world, water, and frills on the water, nothing to worry. Water is the water. All the people give you have BSc, you have PhD, you have this and that, and you have this post and that, all are sanya, nothing but sanya. If it is everything is sanya, it's a play of sand. People play with the sand and finish the sand castle. So monkhood is, no, don't care about sanya. People respect you with all the kind of thing, you bloody fools. But you must not assume. Unassuming, term is atammayata. Tammayata means assuming. I am senior, I am sitting high. He is junior, he must sit low. All these are sanya. So working against sanya is completely a rebellion, a social rebellion. So therefore your silence is a threat to the society. So you must not protest. You must not have coercive idea. You are silent, you are contented. Don't assume sanya they are going to give you, negative or positive. Otherwise it's like a ring in the nose. And then papancha can happen. Useless, because they are based upon papancha sanya, sanya nidanani papancha sankha. All the papancha, all the mental proliferation based upon your sanya. Sanya is in English language, they call script. You have values, these Irish values, American values, I have my local bumpkin values. But we must not throw it against and telling him. He must not throw it against me. We have to understand we are brought up in two societies, but we are in 1.5 hours or 1 hour, we are in the discussion. So, nothing to proliferate. We are going back, we go back without much of head fill. We are not mindful. We are just try to be mindful. So, now it's time up. Thank you very much for the participation. So, American contribution is becoming more than Irish. I am very happy. I am split and rule.